Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Is January Jones. She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm January Jones, and I'd like to welcome you to my podcast today. I'm wearing one of my glitter cowboy hats. My new brand is the Glitter Granny. And as you can see, I have all kinds of hats lined up. Each week, I'm going to wear a different one. You know, I'm approaching 80, so I figure at this stage of life, I can pretty much wear anything I want, say anything I want, and I'm hoping do anything I want. Now, my listeners, let me ask you a question. You know, I'm very happy to have my guest on today because I'm doing some research on him. And I found one of his mantras is ask good questions and get good answers. So that's my plan today. Let me ask you, my listener, have you ever met someone who grew up in the entertainment world? Now, can you imagine what it be like to have a mom who goes by the name Mrs. C and worked at Happy Days? Do you ever wish or ever thought you could meet someone who would be featured on Welcome to the Chippendales? Ah, that's interesting. Would you like to meet someone who is an impressionist extraordinaire? I watched him on YouTube, and this man is amazing. He does impressions that are drop dead, right on point, amazing to watch. He is also a comedian, actor, and he's a voice artist, along with so many other talents. Would you like to hear what it's been like for him? He's worked with people like Julia Roberts, Al Pacino, and let's not forget director Ron Howard, who we all know. If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'd like to introduce you to my guest. He is an actor, as I told you, impressionist extraordinaire, voice artist, and improvisational comedian. That's a hard word for me. Best known for his work on Whose Line Is It Anyway and Impress Me. Currently playing Colonel Sanders in the popular KFC commercials, as well as George Washington crossing the Delaware Turnpike for Geico, which is an incredible thing to watch. And that commercial led his mother to claim that she is now the mother of the father of the country, which is incredible. He's going to be portraying Phil Donahue, who was one of my favorites in Welcome to the Chippendales. I'd like to welcome to the show today, Jim Messinger. Hi, Jim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on the show, January.
I'm so happy to have you, and I love it that we're both wearing hats today.
And we're both wearing a lot of orange, too.
Well, you know, actually, that's what happened. I put the shirt on, and then I thought, well, what hat will I wear today? And it just screamed orange.
That's how I get dressed, too.
Yeah. Tell me where your hat came from. What's your theme?
Where my hat came from? Oh,
yeah.
It's just a head covering. It's nothing fancy.
Okay.
I cover my head quite often these days.
It's not part of your Hope For brand, is it?
A little bit, I guess so. I mean, I wear a hat a lot of the time. So, you know, it's usually just a cap or something turned around backwards. Yeah.
It's been so much fun researching you for the show and seeing you are just an amazing person. Before we begin the show, let me ask you one question that I've been asking everyone who comes on. Mm-hmm. How did the pandemic affect you? How did it affect your career? How did it affect your personal life? Any thoughts on that?
Wow. Yes. Well, it had a huge effect on me and everybody I know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't suffer terribly for work because I do a lot of work from home anyway. I'm a voice artist.
Yeah.
You mentioned that I do the voice of Colonel Sanders, which is true. I've been doing the Colonel Sanders voice for quite some time. And that, of course, you can do just about anywhere. So I did that from home.
I love it. Just do that any moment you feel the urge.
I generally do, thanks. And then I do audiobooks as well. I've narrated quite a few, over 100 audiobooks at this point, and then that's something that I can do at home. But I did feel very frustrated and disappointed in the way that the whole pandemic kept us locked down, away from one another, separated and isolated. And I felt for my fellow citizens and my fellow artists who couldn't perform, who couldn't do holiday gatherings, who couldn't go to funerals or weddings during this horrible time, the kids that, you know, had to stay at home and try to socialize at an early age without being able to be with other kids really physically. I think it was a disaster, you know, and so the effects of it, I think we're going to be feeling for some time. But for me, it was, I was one of the lucky ones. I was able to keep working. We had a fine year overall. Or 2020 and 2021 was fine also. But I know that I look around when I drive around, even my neighborhood, I see the many, many empty buildings, businesses that were once, you know, struggling or thriving businesses, whatever, are just gone. And that's horrible. I also see a great deal of homeless people on the streets and in my area in Los Angeles. And I can't help but think that that too was a result of how this, was handled. So not to be a downer, but it was terrible, terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's just something, you know, I always talk about it on the show because I like to ask people how it affected different people, different areas of the country. And I call it the pandemic pause, which we were all forced to take. Some people come on the show and they say it was just a blessing, if you can believe that, and that caused them to step back, think things out, redo, make a new plan. But then for other people, it wasn't so easy to do. And I think there's repercussions across the whole country. It affects every industry in the country, and it pretty much affects every family in the industry, or in the country, don't you think?
100%, January, absolutely.
I know. I hope, I pray, I think we're coming out of it. And I think I'm always the optimist, okay?
Yes, no whining. No whining.
No whining allowed.
I love that.
You got the
message. There's something I remember, similar sort of thing that I remember reading about. I think it was Game of Thrones, but it might have been might have been Lord of the Rings. Anyway, one of these huge epics where they have, you know, thousands of extras that are dressed in battle gear and have to be smeared with mud and blood and somewhere in one of the tents where these men and women were being made up every day, which basically consisted of them getting up very early in the morning, somewhere in England probably, and being smeared with cold makeup. And there was a sign up on the tent wall saying, "No moaning."
Oh. And I would have said no whining.
No, they were even tighter then. They didn't want to hear your moaning.
That's for sure, especially at those hours of the morning. You know, I've been having so much fun researching your career, your life, and you grew up in Hollywood, obviously, because that's where your mother worked.
Actually, I mean, not to be picky, not Hollywood proper. I mean, Hollywood is down the road from us, about a half an hour. I'm in the suburbs of the San Fernando Valley. I'm a Valley guy.
Okay. Well, we lived in Westlake Village.
Yeah.
For 40 years, and we were always going into the Valley back and forth. And so it's not, I agree with you, it is not Hollywood. Yeah. It's actually probably a pretty nice place for someone who's a child of Hollywood to grow up, don't you think? Because you're a little bit more anonymous there.
Oh, absolutely. And I was anonymous anyway for years because it wasn't my career. But we had a very horsey kind of environment too. A lot of equestrian stuff going on in our neighborhood back in the 60s where I lived. I still live in the same house that I grew up in. I went away for a long time and that stayed in the family. And I basically... my mom gave it to us live in when we moved back from New York City. I raised my daughter here.
I love hearing that because we were in Westlake Village for 40 years. And one of our daughters who was born there is still living there with her two twins. Hmm. Isn't that great to have been someplace that long? I love it.
I'm very grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
we just redid our kitchen. So other than that, we haven't changed it a whole lot. So but it's a very, very comfortable place. And I've spent so many years here. I feel like I know every inch of it. And we could have done a lot worse. Mom, among the many things that she did right and generously was that she provided homes for both of my sister and I.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to hear. And, you know, it's exactly what you would expect her to do. And we all grew up with her. And, you know, and I love what you did that commercial of Washington. And then she comes up, well, if he's the father of the country, I'm the mother. How cool was that?
Yeah, Washington crossing the Delaware Expressway for Geico. Yeah, it was a fun one to do.
That was brilliant. Now, when you do these commercials, how much input did you have when they were filming it? Were you involved in it?
Well, they had the script and then they tried a lot of things and then I pitched some things. So yeah, I think one of the lines that I improvised actually made it into the final spot. So usually on commercials, they're grateful if you have any kind of idea to try to, especially if it's humorous. And so they can burn a lot of, they're just going for 30 seconds. So they can burn a lot of tape as it is.
And then back to editing. Speaking of commercials, here's one for my book, Thou Shalt Not Whine, which Jim doesn't do. And if you'd like to have a wonderful gift for Christmas, this is a great suggestion.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Jim Meskimen. Now, Jim, share with our listeners, please, if you would, your contact information, how they can get your, I don't know if you do have some books now, don't you?
I have some e-books connected to a course that I offer in how to be a working actor, and that's available at jimworkingactor.com. Yeah, I put together a series of videos and e-books about how to start with your acting career, how to maintain it and keep it growing. I've been an actor for 35 years, so I've learned many lessons, and I learned a lot of lessons from my mom, Marion Ross, as well. Mm-hmm. And I put it all together in a course with videos and e-books. And there's also a course about voiceover for people interested in getting into voiceover, and a course in doing impressions, because I know there are a few people out there interested in that. So that's all available at jimworkingactor.com.
Oh, I love that. Okay, we'll put that down on the bottom of the screen during the show. Now, when you look at this whole situation, what would you say are the pros or the cons of the working and growing up in the environment that you grew up in?
Well, mostly pros. I mean, as far as I got a great education by being able to observe my mom, a working actress who, you know, was a struggling sort of actress, doing mm-hmm. guest star spots, commercials, small roles in films, most of her early career. She did have, she was on a soap opera for a little while, so that was a steady employment. But most of the time she was, you know, hunting and looking for the bigger opportunities and being quite dogged about it.
Yeah.
And she was inspiring that way. So I watched that development. I mean, I didn't really have a choice. We lived together. She, after I was about 8 years old, she was a single mom. My folks got divorced. So Marion was raising myself and my sister alone and without much help, and also pursuing this career, which mm-hmm. eventually turned out to be pretty phenomenal and definitely rare. So growing up in that environment, I observed that. I wasn't always happy with it, but it was eventually when it became something that was very positive for mom and her career really started to slowly ascend.
Yeah.
That was really good, because obviously we had our physical needs met much more easily. And, but the best thing for me is that I learned how to be how a professional operates, how a professional actress or artist of any kind interacts with other people, how they build their career, how they keep, you know, you'll understand this, January, because you inspire people not to whine.
Yeah.
a lot of actors, and you know, I've been guilty of this myself. It's easy to complain about the sort of desperate things that happen, and the sort of long periods where you're unacknowledged for what you do, the uncertainties and all that. And it's easy to tell stories and to whine and to complain, and it almost feels cathartic. But it really, at the end of the day, it's not nearly as cathartic is actually getting busy and doing something that might result in a job.
Yeah.
I feel like I got a really good education in that, because my mom was not one to sit around and complain at all. She was one to get busy and do things. And she would, you know, for example, doing a play in Los Angeles especially is kind of a thankless pursuit. You'll get a small audience of people. It's a tremendous amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very glamorous either in a town that is really devoted to film and television.
Sure.
It's not New York, in other words. So she would do plays, and I knew that was a lot of hard work, but she did it because it fed her creative spirit, and it also provided a way for people to possibly drop in and see her and get interested in her for something a little more lucrative. So I learned a lot from her, and but the best of it is, that I realized that the career of an artist depends on the artist, their gumption, their ability to figure out what they want to do and to push forward their initiative and their efforts.
You know, having lived out there for 40 years and having so many friends who were in the industry and neighbors and kids and whatnot and watching it all, it is such a tough career. Let me tell you, I've watched it from the sidelines. And the part where you deal with rejection, that can be just horribly difficult to deal with. And these people, you know, they're the ones that jump down, they jump up, they go back to that next audition. And it's an amazing group of people that I've grown to love, admire. And I think it's wonderful that we've been able to have so many of them share their story with us. Because lately I've been reading, I love nonfiction, so I'm reading biographies all the time. And a lot of them are stepping forward and saying, hey, this is not a cakewalk. Don't you agree?
I do. Yeah, it's a challenge, but that sort of makes the wins when they come along even more sweet and fun. When you book a job these days, it's like a miracle because the competition is so fierce.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody owes you anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very youth-oriented market, always has been, and that, you know, always is working against anybody, no matter what their age is, because you begin to slowly age out of something a lot quicker than you think you are. So, yeah, it's but again, it is such a thrill then to actually pull something off.
Yeah.
That it outweighs to some degree the the evaluation. Also, I think anybody in life has to learn that the opinions of other people can feel very damaging, but they're really only damaging if you accept them. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, there are going to be people that are going to try to take you down a peg and are going to find fault with what you do or just be snarky. So one has to learn as quick as possible, you know, that the opinions of other people are that they're entitled to. That's totally fine. But it doesn't really reflect on you at all. I find that most people, when they're being very critical, it reflects mostly on them. It's something that they have sort of unsettled problems with, or you know, some weakness in, you know, because especially in the arts, you know.
You know, you're sounding like you could maybe switch careers and become a therapist.
Well, I do like to help other people. I'm a minister, so I have some applications that.
We're going to take a break now. And for my listeners, would you like to hear about my theory, who killed Kennedy? Who do you think had the motive, the money, and the means to commit the perfect crime of the last century?
Let me ask you a question. Are you still wondering who killed Kennedy? Over 50 years later, the assassination is still a mystery. It is unfinished business for our country. Now, get ready for a theory that you've never heard before, but will make more sense than any other conspiracy theory that you've ever heard in the past. January Jones speaks the unspeakable in her book, Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle, connecting Jackie and Aristotle Onassis romantically prior to JFK's assassination. Did you know that Ari was Jackie's guest in the White House during the JFK funeral? He was the only non-family member who was invited by Jackie to stay there during the funeral. Aristotle Onassis was one of the wealthiest men in the world, with the means, the motive, and the money to order an assassination that was the perfect crime of the last century. Ari needed class, and Jackie needed cash. They were perfect for each other. Now, what is Camelot? It is but another tragic love triangle. Jackie, Ari, and Jack is available at JanuaryJones.com, Amazon.com, and Audiobooks.com, read by Ms. Jones.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest today. And it's exciting, all of my books with my theory that happened 60 years ago, and we're still asking who Kilkenny have all been coming out in audiobooks. And I know, Jim, you do audiobooks. And this is amazing what's happening with the industry. Audiobooks, that's where it's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be a growing field. That's what I'm always being told. And I work steadily in it. And my daughter also has become a very good and busy audiobook narrator. In fact, she's probably narrating something right now in her own home studio. So it's great because people are on the move. They're on the go. They want to keep being educated while they drive or while they take long hikes. And I think it's great. I listen to audiobooks too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of interesting how it's evolved because I was thinking audiobooks, but you know, what's this all about? Well, it is. It's a thing that's happening. And your daughter is in the industry. That's three generations.
That's right.
I know your sister wrote for friends.
That's right.
So you have a whole family that has been involved in this industry. What advice do you have for people who are listening, young people, hey, old people, who want to have a career? And I know you have programs that they could follow. What could you say to people who are considering this career?
Well, the first thing I recommend people do is to sort of, you know, observe the television shows and movies or stage plays possibly that they see that they feel like a very strong attraction to, that they feel like that would be the kind of role that I'd love to do. That would satisfy me and be very interesting to me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a little bit of self-reflection to kind of sort that out. Like what part would I really like to play?
Uh-huh.
And to kind of make a little bit of a list, you know, what sorts of roles do I think I'd be good for? And then start to, in some small way, create on a role like that yourself. You can either, if there's a television show or a movie that you've enjoyed watching a certain character in, you should memorize a little speech of theirs, you know, and just, you don't have to perform it for anybody, but just put it on its feet in your own home and give it a try and feel what it's like to play that sort of character. Mm-hmm. Look for opportunities to, you know, to present things like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of actors get their start in doing theater plays. These days, it's also very easy to videotape things. And whether you decide to share it with someone or not, you still have the experience of creating a character, behaving like that character, maybe saying things that that character would say, and record it for yourself and then check it out. Look back at it. See if it's – most people will notice a disparity between what they think they're doing and what actually they wind up with. And that's an important thing to note. You know, we feel a little different inside our bodies than the way we look outside of our bodies.
Audience. And you know, with like this show will go on YouTube, and then there's Instagram, and there's just so many opportunities out there that are just all new and very exciting. When you look back on your career, I know you've done just about everything. What really, when you look back, was the most favorite, your most enjoyable thing that you did?
Well, I usually say, and it's still true today, actually, I usually say Apollo 13, the Ron Howard directed film about the Apollo 13 mission. That was a great experience. First of all, it was a big movie.
Yeah.
I worked on it for about a month, which is a good long time at Universal. And I learned a lot just by researching and studying what the space program was like, things I didn't know at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was of great interest to me. It's a big subject, space travel. So I found it a very expansive kind of thing to think about and learn about.
Mm-hmm.
And also I liked being part of a film that had a really terrific message. And the message of that film to me is that human beings, when they work together, can solve even the stickiest of problems. And that's different from the themes of most movies today. And even most movies overall, I mean, we don't experience that kind of story very often, but this was a true story. And that's the message that happened. I think it's a very well told story. So that message comes through very well. And people really go, yeah, you know, that I know that if it's on, if Apollo 13 is on, I have to watch some of it because even though I've been exposed to it from many, many different angles, both being a part of it and being an observer and an audience member, I still love to hear that story being told.
It's absolutely the most positive, favorite thing out there. And it proves and it teaches the fact that anything can be accomplished. And if you set your mind to it, you can do anything. I know I was very fortunate. My first husband was a test pilot. And after he was killed testing, I was fortunate enough to meet the three astronauts that stepped onto the moon or were driving around the moon. How exciting. Did you get to meet any of the astronauts?
I did. I got to meet Jim Lovell,
okay.
who was the subject of the film, who was played by Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And I also got to meet two men who had been young men in Mission Control, basically doing the kind of job I was pretending to do,
yeah.
but actually doing it. two gentlemen that were always on the set as consultants, so you could ask them questions any time of day, and they were very gracious about it, and very, you know, very heroic characters indeed.
Oh yeah, they're the real deal. So exciting. Right now, we're going to take a break, and let me ask you a question. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Well, I'd like to share with you some of the most unforgettable people who have been on my show. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul. People who have faced difficult problems. People who have struggled to find solutions. People who fearlessly shared their stories. People who have not only informed you, but inspired you. People who have priceless personalities. I have been fortunate to host an internet radio talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories. And it has been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. My guests have shared their stories, their struggles, their secrets, and their successes in their own words. In this book, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, runaway kids, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, and starting over. Then there are my guests dealing with difficult physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects that are beyond traumatic. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They have amazed, amused, and even astonished me. I have adored getting to meet them, and I adore sharing them with you.
Attention all listeners. Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, Volume 2 is now available at Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle editions. You'll be able to meet 10 amazing people who will be sharing their own personal stories with all their struggles, successes, and solutions sprinkled with lots of humor and hope. Priceless Personalities features a teenager who becomes one of the famous Supremes from Motown, a nurse who as a humorist helps people to heal, an inspiring laughter yoga instructor, a mother dealing with the loss of a child, an incredible motivational speaker, a woman who married 5 times, a gifted paranormal nurse, a wise economist, a funny female humorist, along with an older man sharing his sweet childhood in the Deep South. January's guests are all amazing and amusing. You will never forget meeting them. Go to Amazon.com for your own priceless experience.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Jim Meskimen. Now, Jim, what prompted us to book you for the show is the blurb about Chippendales.
Mm.
So please share with our listeners what that involves and what are your future projects. What's coming up for you now?
My future problems are many. Yeah, there's a limited series on Hulu called Welcome to Chippendales.
Yeah.
And that is it's just rolling out now. My episode released last week, and I play Phil Donahue. And, I had to do some research on Phil Donahue because when he was in his heyday.
He was it.
It was in the 90s, and I wasn't watching much TV. I was walking around New York and working on my own. So, but it was a lot of fun to play the role, and the Chippendales dancers were there. I spent a lot of time with some very sweaty men.
Great.
It's a good series. I've watched parts of it, and it's very engaging, very interesting. And it was fun to play. I played famous people a lot. I played Johnny Carson for films as well, and on television.
Yeah.
And so the talk show people are not unknown to me. People that I've absorbed in my childhood still come out every now and then. Like Colonel Sanders, the same way, is somebody I would have heard of quite a lot when I was growing up. So it's fun to replay these characters, especially when you have makeup and a set and a nice hairpiece and get to really portray someone famous. It's fun.
How long does it take to acquire the ability to do you study films? How do you get to the point where you can actually impersonate them?
Well, it varies, you know, as you can imagine. It depends on who the character is. And for instance, I played Senator Gurney in a show about Watergate earlier this year called Gaslit with Julia Roberts and Sean Penn.
Wonderful.
And Senator Gurney was not a guy who I was familiar with, even though I'd watched a lot of the Watergate proceedings when I was a kid. You know, it was on all the time. And I remembered many of the famous figures from that time. But his was a less known face, less known voice. So I had to kind of poke around. And I never really felt like I got a good dose of what he what this guy was like, because there wasn't much footage available that I could find. So I created a kind of a, based on what I knew about him and his background and so forth, I created a character, and that's what it turned out to be. It was a lot of fun working with Julia Roberts and Sean Penn, I can tell you.
Oh, how exciting would that be? And of all the people you've impersonated, what kind of feedback have you gotten from them? Because I'm always curious about what they think when you actually wonderfully do this.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've not gotten a lot of feedback. So I mean, don't expect to hear from Phil Donahue. Ron Howard, who I also, I like to imitate Ron Howard because he's a very gifted speaker. He's very, he's got his own master class, which is terrific, which I've watched. And I've been exposed to his style for many years when he was a young man, all the way up to present day. But I know that Ron has heard my impression of him, and he's very gracious about it. So,
well, you do it so well. I think anyone that you would do it for, impersonate, would be honored to be chosen.
Try to be respectful. Yeah.
Oh, of course you have to be respectful. Yeah, you don't want to cross the line there. So when we're talking about all these famous people that you've worked with, Julia Roberts, Al Pacino, oh my God, I how exciting was that?
Well, the thing with Al is I enjoyed him on stage when I lived in New York. Here's another actor that didn't rest on his laurels for a second. He always was working, doing plays.
I understand that Al Pacino likes to, when he's in his off time, he likes to memorize a role in a play. I think that's just so great. He's always putting himself through. He's like, I don't know. He's like the Tom Cruise of the spoken word. He just is incredible about how he is diligent about continuing to. And we saw him in many, many shows in New York City. And, that's hard work. It's just hard work. And compared to being a film actor, which is relatively simple or easy, you're being coddled a lot, and you can, if you are doing a scene and you need to break it up into 18 pieces, you can do that. You can't do that on stage.
Yeah. And you can, you can tell when you're watching him that his true love is the theater and the stage. And he's so incredible. He is amazing. And as tell us a little about what it was like to work with Julia Roberts. She's so lovely.
She is lovely. It was great. I was sort of a little bit aware that, it's hard not to be aware that she's like a major iconic, expensive movie star. So,
she's a real deal.
You don't want to interfere or create any kind of friction or anything. And the fun part was that I got my character, Senator Gurney, she was playing Martha Mitchell, and I get to grill her, very savagely from the Senate dais, this congressional courtroom. And it was a lot of fun. It's unusual to you. I didn't really meet her much beforehand, or I met her briefly, but I didn't get to socialize with her at all, and or get chatty or anything like that. And then all of a sudden we're in this scene where I'm, behaving
here we
very, very badly. And then afterwards she was just going to go, and I had to kind of run around and catch up with her and say, oh, Hey, thanks. That was really fun. And my mom says hi, and, stuff, all the kind of, warm and human things that you'd want to say to someone like that.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, what a fun time you've had with your life and your career. Everyone asked about your mom. We hope she's doing well.
She is. Thank you. She's just turned 94.
Wow.
And she's retired, obviously, and enjoying her estate. And we see her all the time, and she's just doing swell. She's always quite happy when I talk to her.
Yeah, for our listeners, I'm just turning 80, and guess what, guys? You can do a lot. The older you get, and the more you put yourself out there. I know sometimes it's hard. Sometimes older people tend to become very reclusive. Now, I always ask this question for my guests. Now, if you were able to choose someone to have dinner or lunch with, aside from me, who would you choose to spend your time with?
That's a very good question.
Me or your mother? Okay.
Yeah, right. I get to have lunch with my mother all the time.
Oh, okay. Right.
Maybe Groucho. Groucho would be a lot of fun, I think. And the great thing about Groucho is he's very amusing, but he also has a tremendous amount of experience. So he'd be able to tell you stories till the cows came home, or maybe before the cows came home.
Yeah.
And then maybe you could, ride around on the cows. The great Groucho, I'd say that's my answer today. Ask me tomorrow. I'm sure I'll have another one.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, who to pick from? You have so many experiences with so many people. I'm so glad you could take the time to spend with us today and visit. You're fascinating. And again, I want to tell our listeners, go to YouTube. This guy is incredible.
If you go to YouTube and just look up Jimpressions, that's kind of my handle on YouTube, Jimpressions, you'll find more stuff. Now, I'm in front of, you haven't mentioned it, but I'm in front of the celebrity fortune cookie backdrop, and this is what I do every day. I pull a fortune cookie out of a bowl, and I read the fortune in a different celebrity voice. I usually have a wheel here where I spin, and I get a celebrity name, and so I do that 365 days a year, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, yeah. Oh, let's promote that for sure. Celebrity Fortune Cookie. And thank you so much. And for my listeners, I'm so glad you could join us today. Next Tuesday, live at 2 p.m., I'm looking forward to hosting Dr. Ellen Albertson, who will help us get ready to embrace the new year, 2023. My 79-year-old thought, almost 80 for the day, is, do you have trouble parallel parking? Well, my solution to that, as I've been doing that since I got my license over 60 years ago, and my solution is just keep driving and then go park somewhere else. So there you go. I'm signing off from the Rhinestone Hat Lady, and it's been wonderful to spend our time with Jim. Thank you for entering the No Wine Zone, and please share our stories with everyone you know. And remember, stop whining and then start smiling. And if that doesn't work, then you can just go out and start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate during this holiday season. Thank you, Jim, again, and we look forward to having you back anytime.
Thank you, January. I appreciate it.
This was fun. To my listeners, take care and stay safe until we meet again.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Doing the acid wash now. Oh, cool.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
I'm going to order these for the Christmas present.
Oh, good.
For the kids.
Yeah.
Ohio State
fans. And they all said Ohio State on them? They're all...
No, I have never
won. Oh, okay.
My Ohio State, like, come out.
Where do you sell them?
Just on my Facebook and Instagram.
Oh.
I'm getting ready to start next year.
Wow.
That's the point. It's all leads to the initial most important point is not what happened on November 24th. It's the fact that Donald Trump, with all of this happening around him right now, was more to come, by the way. So I think there's other
applications.
Exactly. He will be the nominee for party. And so that speaks volumes about any
direction. So my mom said he was her great uncle.
Donald Trump, for the presidency, you're going to vote for him.
Jan.
Yeah.
My mom said that No, it was her great uncle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Huh.
Confess.
No, there's a whole other backstory behind that too. So when he got back, all of a sudden he had all this money, and then there was some cover up stuff, and then my grandma's house burned down, like a random fire. So I don't know if there was something in there that, you know, kind of tied him to that, or
yeah,
everything was wiped, you know, wiped.
Yeah.
This is your family. Oh.
So I was telling her that my mom's great uncle, there's conspiracy in our family that he was involved in Kennedy. One of the three guys. So I was telling her the story about it.
On the grace, on the grassy knoll?
Yeah.
And did you get the full story here?
Yeah, we talked when I got first got here. So in this book, this guy back here with the hat.
Uh-huh.
That's my great-great-uncle Bill. He was taken into custody and then released. And
is Chouette also in that picture? Is Chouette in that picture?
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. Huh.
Those were the three guys that were dead.
So they took them in and questioned and released them.
Book was released, and it was released with three guys that they took in, but it was different names and different pictures. Never acted.
Oh, that's a shock, huh?
I will never know the truth. But I'm interested to read what she has there.
Yeah.
And I think my mom would be.
Mr. You now are in charge of the boys. Lormore is leaving you in charge. Okay?
That's right, when we have this light on over the sink.
Yeah.
And see that seal up there?
Yeah.
It showed that it showed up on there. Like, I wouldn't be able to see that if I was.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when the light's on, it's a pretty good.
Right. Light for the.
Yeah. Just for something.
Yeah. I think you got that in my list. She was telling me we're having issues with the collar and the door.
I have issues. I'm supposed to get a plate. What do you call it?
They're going to bring it today?
I think so. I think that it's got a number of different threads.
That transformer will probably have to run the Home Depot again.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Match.
That's not happening there.
We'll take bringing this this afternoon and next day.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.